On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap the Bears' pitiful loss to the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. We also will recap all of the goodies from a wild NFL's Week 3 and get you prepped for what's going on this week in the Champions League. Without further ado, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome into 23's The Mic. It is Tuesday, September 28th. Here live in Chicago, as always, you can find us at 23's The Mic on Instagram. And I am at your host, Nadim, at NadimN22 on Instagram. And we have a great show for you today. We are recapping the NFL's Week 3. I actually took the trip over to Cleveland for the Bears and Browns game. Recently 26 years of age, so that was a little birthday trip. And then we also went to Michigan for the Michigan and Rutgers game. Michigan with an atrocious offense. And we have a lot of goodies in store for you today. I said that already, but Clemson, basically to recap the CFB, Clemson took an L against NC State. And they have basically been escorted out of the college football playoff conversation pending, you know, every other team getting two losses. So I think the ACC is basically done for. Maybe Notre Dame is still in the hunt. But for right now, you still have the top dogs, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, and Oklahoma, of course. As always, as I repped a Kyler Murray Sooners jersey to the Michigan game, the Big House. And it was quite the experience because I was probably the only person in the stadium in red outside of the seven people there at the Rutgers game. So that was representing Rutgers. And then we went to Cleveland for an amazing experience. First Energy Stadium was popping. I think in comparison to Soldier Field, much better. They had a full starting lineup for their offense, which is really cool, just like they do in the NBA games. They had interactive fan play. We had great seats in the second row, so we were able to see a lot close up. Me and my friend Newman, former host, co-host of 23's The Mic, got on TV. And it was just a cool vibe. It was a cool vibe. So we'll start there. The Bears suffer an insanely devastating loss to the Cleveland Browns. Devastating in all the wrong ways. They got completely outclassed. They got destroyed. 9 sacks total from the Cleveland Browns. 4.5 for Myles Garrett alone. He ate this offensive line. 13 of 20 dropbacks for Justin Fields. Only 5 men were protecting him, so they did not use max pressure. They rarely ever did use max pressure, and when they did, there's a video out there from Brian Baldinger in his little breakdowns, but I mean, Myles Garrett just outclassed this offensive line. The game plan for Justin Fields was terrible. That's what I really want to harp on, is that Matt Nagy doesn't know what to do with his rookie quarterback. That is very evident from Sunday's game plan, due to the fact that the Cleveland Browns have a really good offensive front that hasn't really performed up to par this year. But when Jason Peters was on Myles Garrett, it was game over from the jump. The Browns beat the Bears 26-6, a total of 1 net passing yard. Justin Fields threw for 68 yards, but those sacks accumulated 67 yards. So 1 net passing yard. And, I mean, what more can you say about this game is that this loss isn't on Justin Fields. It's a really unfortunate debut, and hopefully the rookie can bounce back and doesn't take it too mentally waning from him. But I mean, 1 net passing yard, 9 sacks, nothing going, 6 total points on the board. It was incredibly stupid going into having 150 days since you drafted the guy, 150 days since you drafted the guy for Nagy. And he doesn't have this quarterback game planned, scripted, nothing to roll out of the pocket, to maybe move the pocket in a certain way that could help him with bootlegs, rollouts, you know, play action. And I don't know what else to say. Like, that is inexcusable to me. This is very similar to what he did with Mitch Trubisky. And it's basically, you're not playing to this quarterback that you drafted. You're not playing to his strengths. You're not playing to his abilities. You're not allowing him to use the abilities, his abilities, his talents that you drafted him for to help your team. On the other side of the ball, the defense looked pretty good and held up their bargain for a good two and a half quarters until Kareem Hunt just outclassed everybody on a 30-yard run to the house, and that kind of was the difference in this game that kind of broke it open per se. I just don't see where we're going with Nagy on this train. I really like Dan Orlovsky on Monday morning called for his job. He called for him out for to be fired because, I mean, what else are you supposed to do? It's been 4 years. This is year four in the Nagy offense. And it's never once looked good. This is a guy that came to this team as the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid was still calling the play, so Matt Nagy never was the play caller. He comes in, he has an atrocious first year offensively. He's never ranked higher than 25th in offense, total offense, in the 3 years he's been here. It's inexcusable to me. It's really just inexcusable, the fact that he has gone unchecked. And he is like, yeah, today or yesterday, he came out and said that all three quarterbacks are on the table in terms of starting on Sunday against the Lions. Like, you don't want to throw your rookie out there in a much easier matchup than the Cleveland Browns after you basically made him shell-shocked. And now, you know, he's even by saying that, you're like taking away the blame. You're putting the blame on him instead of on yourself, and all the blame. Everyone's talking about it. All the blame should go to Matt Nagy. We started a chant after the game towards the tunnel, a fire Matt Nagy chant, very, very reminiscent of Yusuf's fire Garpacks chant that actually led to them being fired. So maybe we'll get some traction with that one. So the Bears are looking forward to a matchup with the Lions. And I'm thinking, if you know what, a report came out today that if Matt Nagy does end up losing to the Lions, and I'm saying Matt Nagy because it's Matt Nagy, I don't even believe it's the Bears anymore. If he does end up losing to the Lions, then he might be fired within the next week. And I don't know if I want to root for the Lions this week, which is crazy as a Bears fan to say. We're going to do a week three recap because there's too much good, bad, and ugly. So I'm going to skip that for this week. There's a lot to dive into. First of all, how about the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford? I mean, they went in to a home matchup against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they dominated. They dominated Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They were completely outclassing them, and they didn't even have to run the ball, which is insane. These Rams, who are my Super Bowl pick to win, they beat the Buccaneers 34-24. Matthew Stafford went 27 for 38, 343 yards, and four touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, 9 catches, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's tearing it up as of late. This year, probably the best fantasy wide receiver in football so far through the first 3 weeks. Tom Brady, not too shabby, 41 for 55, 432 yards and a touchdown. He also had a rushing touchdown as well as Chris Godwin. But this Rams defense made crucial stops when they needed to. Packers and 49ers was also a great game. Green Bay takes this one 30-28. Aaron Rodgers, with 37 seconds left, leads the Packers downfield for a game-winning field goal drive, a 51-yarder by Mason Crosby. Rodgers finishes 23 of 33, 261 yards and 2 touchdowns. Aaron Jones continuing to have a great year, 82 yards on the ground and a score. But Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, really raised my eyebrows because he went 25 of 40. He had a really bad first half, but then he bounced back, got his team into this game. A very, very ballsy call by Kyle Shanahan at the end of the half with 2 seconds left. Instead of kicking a field goal, they went for it on I think it was third down, and he put Trey Lance in the game to do a quarterback draw play, and it worked. Quarterback run to the left, and they got it. And, you know, Trey Lance, I'm waiting for him because I feel like he can take this team to the next step. But Jimmy G keeps playing the way he is, he'll be just fine. Another really surprising score, the Chargers beating the Kansas City Chiefs 30-24. Justin Herbert, 281 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mike Williams continues to be a storyline this year, 7 catches, 122 yards, and 2 scores. Patrick Mahomes threw 2 interceptions in this game. We were talking about, you know, in the after the Browns game, he was 38 touchdowns to no interceptions in September in his entire career, and now he has 3 in the last 2 weeks. He still threw for 3 touchdowns and 260 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 100 rushing yards on the ground, finally getting involved. He also did have another fumble, but, you know, it goes without saying that this is a very pivotal part of the Chiefs' kind of game plan, is that they need to establish the run, because now they have back-to-back losses. They're 1-2, and they're going to need to start rolling on all fronts. But their defense has been quite suspect and has been giving up the big points. And you saw even in this game a lot of wide open. There was 2 wide open touchdowns for Justin Herbert in this game, especially late critical moments of the fourth quarter. Justin Herbert was able to deliver, which was very surprising to me, that, you know, he stepped up in the clutch and was able to drive his team down the field. The Vikings beat the Seahawks 30-17. This was a pivotal game for Minnesota, starting out the year 0-2. Kirk Cousins showed up. He went 30 for 38, 323 yards and 3 touchdowns. Alexander Mattison, thankfully for my fantasy life, my fantasy sake, he had 26 carries, 112 yards, and 6 receptions for 59 yards. Not too shabby. Russell Wilson, 298 yards and a touchdown, but didn't look so good in this game. It's going to be curious to see if we're already seeing the fall of Russell Wilson, because now the Seahawks have lost the last 2 games after being up to the Tennessee Titans by 16 in the fourth quarter last week. The Falcons got their win, finally, 17-14 over the Giants, who are now 0-3. The Colts are also 0-3, losing 25-16 to the Titans. The Bills run roughshod over the Washington football team. Josh Allen had 358 yards and 4 touchdowns. And another surprise score, the Cincinnati Bengals. They pulled off the upset in Pittsburgh for the first time in 6 years. They had not won in Pittsburgh. Joe Burrow throws for 3 touchdowns, 172 yards. But this was really just the inefficiency of the Pittsburgh offense. Like, it was wild to me that Big Ben is really, it looks like he's lost a step. Now, they did lose Deontay Johnson before the game. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster within the game. Najee Harris had 19 targets and 102 yards in the passing game, along with 40 yards on the ground. But that offensive line is terrible in Pittsburgh, and the Bengals took this one by a final of 24-10. Arizona beat the Jaguars 31-19, and then Justin Tucker with a 66-yard NFL record-breaking game-winning field goal against the Lions, 19-17. Now, the Lions have been putting up games within the past 2 weeks, which is actually going to be a lot about what we're talking about on the Thursday show for previewing the game against the Bears, because the Lions have actually looked good. Now, the Bears have not looked good on offense all year. They didn't look good against Rams. They did not look good. Justin Fields was running for his life against the Bengals, and they won that game because of 3 interceptions by their defense. But in terms of their offense, they have not looked good, and the Lions do present somewhat of an underrated, formidable attack on their fronts, and it's going to be interesting to see how that translates in the Bears game, because usually, you know, the Bears do have the Lions number, but if you look back at last year in that game that Matthew Stafford started and Trubisky fumbled late in the fourth quarter, the tides may be turning a bit. And to close our show today, I just want to briefly talk about Lionel Messi's first goal with Paris Saint-Germain comes against Manchester City. Yes, my Manchester City. In the group stage of the Champions League, we had match day 2 today. It was PSG beating Man City in a thriller 2-0. Porto completely getting baffled by Liverpool 5-1. And Atletico Madrid against the 10-man AC Milan team in the 94th minute drop penalty. Luis Suarez banks it home, and they win. And the shocker of the day, Sheriff. Yes, Sheriff. That is the team name. Beat Real Madrid 2-1. And it was Sebastian Thill with a game-winning goal in the 89th minute. And if you do not watch that game, you should go watch that game, because that was a crowd silencer, if I've ever heard one. Sheriff has now won both games of their group stage, and they have 6 points in their group, and they could be advancing. That was the biggest win in the history of their team. So I'm excited to see what tomorrow brings. We'll cover the remaining Champions League group stage matches on Thursday's show. Our player of the week this week, there's a couple of ways you can go. Obviously, the defensive player of the week, it's Myles Garrett, no question. The offensive player of the week, I'm going to have to give it to Josh Allen, who completely torched the Washington football team's defense, who we were so high on coming into the year. Maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. 358 touchdowns. So we're having a conversation. And four touchdowns. And Josh Allen takes home the offensive player of the week for 23's the mic. As always, find us at 23's the mic on Instagram. We'll have the week 3 quarterback rankings out tomorrow. Excited to release that and see what kind of controversial opinions people think I seem to have. And then we'll have a show on Thursday and get you ready for the weekend's action. You can find me at Nadeem22 on Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever your podcasting platforms may be. Find us on there. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is 23's The Mic. Love you guys.